for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Deliverance Ministers Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday afternoon, October the 24th, 2012, Jim Landry is the speaker of the service teaching on Root Worker.
And that was good this morning. Now, what I'm about to do is just, you know. Probably nobody going to identify with this one. And it's a lot of reading and things like that. So, I mean, there are a lot of teachings that several ministers, I think probably the most profound teachings that I remember over the last 20 years here would be from Dr. Noe on witchcraft and magic. Yeah. And then in the back of his book, that Rejection, yeah. It's just excellent. I've used it lots of times. And then there have been other people here. I think Pastor Colonel come through here with last year, the year before, with vampirism and zombieism. Yeah. And I did a few teachings on voodoo and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of stuff back there. And so what I'm going to talk about today is just going to kind of touch the surface. So anyway, I think that most everybody is coming in this afternoon with the Lord's blessing. I just want to just speak with you a little bit and just try to perhaps get us to identify some of the potential problems that people that are coming to us are having that appear to be generational in origin, maybe just somebody put a root curse on them, a hex. And so I'm going to share this evening about root doctors and spells. And I remember on R-O-O-T, root doctors and spells, are root workers. And I remember on January the 1st, in 2011, I went out because I checked my lawn and everything was done. And I figured I would barbecue that evening. I like to cook. And for some reason, I feel led, even though the postman didn't pass on that day, I felt led to go out my front door and just look towards my mailbox. And I don't know about you, but in our city, the city owns the eave, which is about 6 feet into my property. So my mailbox sits off of my property, even though it's tied into my property. And there, sitting right by this brick mailbox, was a brown paper bag. So I went out there and I looked at the brown paper. I thought, well, that's pretty good. You can't hardly get brown paper bags. A lot of stores won't give them to you. They give you plastic. So I'm still not thinking root work witchcraft. So I opened up the bag, and the first thing I saw were these pigeon gray wings, and instantly I knew what it was. So I went around to the back, bound the spirit. I went around to the backyard, and I just happened to have this cheap barbecue pit when you go fishing, a little small one. And I went out there, and I took my shovel, and I gently put the bag in, and I put the live fluid on it, and I started a bonfire there on New Year's Day. And it was kind of early because my neighbors passed by, and they were walking their dogs. They say, "You starting early, huh?" I said, "Yeah." And I broke that curse. And so I'm not saying that I've done a lot of things in our city that rained on a lot of people's parades and caused them to go after me. But I got the mark when I became a Christian. And then when I got into the ministry of deliverance, you know, even another mark. And so I don't know if I even brought it up to my wife till later on that afternoon. I just did my part. And I reminded the spirits. I took time out. I took note. I stood back and to the peripheral vision of what would happen. I said, "I don't even own that part of the property." And I didn't. I reminded the demons, then I burned up everything. I broke the curses and I went about my business. I didn't get goosebumps and get scared because I'm on the offense, not on the defense. And I was appalled at the fact that somebody would try. And I said, it must be some novices that just moved in the community and decided to go after the preacher on the street. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about two types of voodoo, root workers and hoodoo root workers. That will cover Latinos, Caucasian, African American, and Native Indians. And as far as I'm going to get today, I realize we got more than that in here from other nationalities. I'm only going to be able to skim the surface because it's so much material I need to share with you from a medical perspective and from a news perspective by police departments and things like that, that it's hard for me to try to turn that into a teaching. So it's basically a lecture. Also, because of my my Texas Louisiana accent, when I say roots, I'm talking about the bottom of a tree. So if I accidentally say, say roots, I really mean roots. That does it. Like Nancy, they've been my friends for a long time. They know I can cross some words up. So I want you to know where we're going here. All right. So root work. It's a blend of African religion, and African religion basically it involves the worship of ancestors and herbal work, folklore, and a type of mixed Christian beliefs all mingled together, what is often referred to as Southern roots witchcraft. All right? In its most sincere form, root work taps into an ancient belief that everything in creation, every rock, every blade of grass, is filled with a spiritual significance. And a practitioner with knowledge of the spirit world can tap into its power. Now, voodoo in origin is the religion, all right? And the practice of the witch doctor with the spells and the conjure men flows from the voodoo, all right? But as I mentioned before, I'm going to also talk about the hoodoo from the American perspective also. Now, root workers sort of fancy themselves as doctors because they can cure people, they say, and they can hurt people, all right? And people have hired, and there's lots of reports on this, people have hired the root doctors and used them in courtrooms against the judge, against lawyers, and against plaintiffs. I remember one time we had a lawsuit against the school district, and this would be 20 years ago, and the whole time my lawyer was coughing. I said, I must have bound that demon so bad, I'm about to lose the case. But well, we lost the case, though. But anyway, he could talk. I had bound him up so much he was coughing the whole time. But anyway, I figured it out after it happened. So can you imagine what a root worker would do in a courtroom? And people have hired them also against co-workers so they can get promoted, against professional athletes so somebody else can take their place, bust up marriages. And I can tell you a few more other things they do. Many deceived conjure men or root workers are also called preachers. My first pastor that introduced me to my previously deceased two pastors, Pastor Glenn and Pastor Harlan, would often tell us when we were young, and he had a deliverance ministry, about people coming sprinkling stuff around the building and stuff they found when they was teaching us about spiritual warfare. They wouldn't really target the people specifically or tell us specifically who they were. They didn't want to injure us and cause us to be bitter and hateful, but they did tell us those things did take place. And there have been a number of cases where friends of mine have come into the ministry and into their church buildings and found unusual garments and artifacts and dolls behind the pulpit or in the baptismal pools at the ministries. But not only preachers, deacons, congregational members, also many of them are using our workers of roots. And so we have to be very careful that as we are saved and we're coming into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we don't bring in some of this baggage, saltpeter and candles and other little things to help Jesus out. Jesus don't need no help. We need the help. And many people have compromised in such a way. And woodworkers use a number of concoctions. They may use a number of things. It's kind of whatever the woodworker wanted to try to impress you with at that hour. But some of the basic elements is hair and clothing, your business card, nails, fingernails. Graveyard dirt is a real good one. They love graveyard dirt. And just so many other things that they will use to, against the intended victim. Now, what a root worker would do coming against me, well, I can't tell them what they might do. Might be one of the other ones. But they wouldn't try to take me out a certain way. They would try to soften my doctrine. It's like a deliverance worker that back up and say, it don't take all of that. And before you know it, that's what you believe. And you're flowing that flow. All right, I'm in this thing to the end. And if you I'm not promoting the book, but if you look at the little booklet I wrote in 2007 on the basis of deliverance, I make it very clear that I've embraced many, many methodologies in spiritual warfare, and I hold no judgments against the diversity of gifts. I head a team of ministers around the country and overseas, and many of them do things a little different, but at the end of the day, Jesus says, no man can do a miracle in my name and speak lightly of me. Forbid them not. You couldn't get more diversified than I am and more tolerant when it comes to that. But I have very little tolerance for one who say, I just can't do it. I don't believe in this. I want to do it only the way Jesus did. Well, I'm doing it the way Jesus did it too. Why would you tell me that unless you thought I was doing it wrong? And we walk in together as brethren. You would just judge me. Okay. I don't care about that. I just want you to know that. That don't bother me. All right. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 15 and 16, Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Jesus said that we would know them by their fruits. Unless you are chasing religious rainbows, falling behind signs and wonders, you should be able to discern individuals that have added to the word with concoctions and potions and candles and special this and special that, Jesus and something else. You should be able to discern that. Alright? Now, the Bible makes it clear that many people that have been exposed to magic and potions and spells did repent. And we have an example of that, of course, in Acts the 19th chapter, where they gathered together, and I'm going to read that passage of scripture to you. Acts the 19th chapter, verse 18, the Bible says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also used curious arts and brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And deliverance, it's just, you know, it's a mighty work of God. And the word will also mightily grow when people are getting deliverance and getting it free. So we have an example here in the scripture that of people being exposed and that repented. Some of our ancestors' blood was mixed with Indian blood. All right. So let's talk a little bit about hoodoo root workers for a moment. Hoodoo, conjure, root work. Refer to the practice of African American folk magic. Hoodoo is an American term and has always been practiced by both whites, blacks, and America. Now, historically, most practitioners of hoodoo have been African Americans, but those have been white. They have been white root doctors, Latinos, and Native Americans. We need to know this. Once again, as I opened this session, I made it very clear, and I will repeat this often, that a lot of the people that are coming to us with mental problems and bipolars and other undiagnosed conditions, the doctors can't find anything wrong. We know it's a demon. And generally, the first radar sends us to generational curses and things like that, but very seldom do we really think that four houses down, somebody wouldn't pay that person $400 to hex them. So we don't go there. Unless they may be an African-American or a Hispanic person. So we got to sharpen our little tools here. Because this thing crosses every race. That was a study done in the 1960s by a medical staff and a doctor in New York. He did 7 cases based on people coming to the hospital that had certain conditions that they could not find any diagnostic evidence that they had a sickness. And I'm going to just deal with one of the cases and the doctor. The doctor here, David, in his writings to the medical profession, he says, voodoo has evolved into a rural southern practice in America called root work. The migration of the Negro has brought root work to the industrial south. This is 1967, I believe. The case who were seen in a northern hospital and who shared a belief in hexing and root work is being presented. It was 7 cases. I'm presenting 1. The diagnostic and therapeutic implications of modern day voodoo in the Negro ghetto are discussed. Now, mind you, the writing is real thin for my glasses, and these are new lenses here. A number of southern Negroes have been seen in the last few years who believe they are hexed. The particular, this is back in the 60s, and the church hadn't even caught up yet. You can't have a demon. The particular belief system is referred to as root work, and it seems to be a North American derivative of voodoo. To the best of our knowledge, this phenomenon has not been discussed in the medical literature, although there have been some mention of hexing in the rural South. There are many references to magical beliefs in other groups. The fact that such patients are being seen in an industrialized northern city is testimony to the cultural crisis of the American Negro. His northern migration in search of economic advancement and social justice has also removed him from the traditional southern rural culture with its specific values and belief systems. He has had to give up social stability, as unpleasant as it was, for the instability of the northern ghetto. Thus, many Negroes who have gone to a root doctor in the rural South find themselves in a northern hospital believing they were hexed, but unable to communicate this to the white northern doctor inquiring into their health. Not only does this pose a cultural dilemma for the Negro, but it is a specific medical problem for the physician. Most northern physicians have no idea what root work is and are unable to consider a hex in the differential diagnosis. The patient almost never volunteers the information when he believes he has been hexed. Shame, guilt, and the cultural gap between the patient and the doctor preclude his doing so. If the physician is aware of the possibility, however, new diagnostic problems are posed. It is possible that the patient has actually been hexed and that all of his symptoms are attributable to the process of hexing. One must also consider that the patient may be experiencing a subtle organic process and interpreting the symptoms as if he had been hexed. This approach against it, it's very difficult to dismiss such cases as a social cultural phenomenon and not to pursue a thorough diagnosis and a thorough diagnostic workup. Some patients will be obviously psychotic and perhaps delusional about hexing and about root work. Other patients will have convergence symptoms appropriate to the cultural statements and belief system. Root work is mainly a rural southern practice. The northern migration of Negroes has brought it to every northern industrial center. In the South, some of the white rural population also practice root work. The central belief is that illness or death may come to someone through a hex. Root workers or root doctors who assist in putting a hex on someone are equally proficient at removing such a hex. The hex is usually administered through powders placed in the food or the drink. In addition, one may have a root doctor dress his hands so that merely touching the victim will bring on a hex. It is likely that a hex can be administered at a distance by acting on a victim's clothing, a piece of the hair, some other personal belongings, or even an image, which is a portrait. The most common belief, however, is that something has been done to the victim's food or drink. In this one particular case, is being presented here, the patients were seen in Rochester, New York. The case demonstrates, case number one, how rootwort can appear on a medical service, and rather geographically points out the problems in making the correct diagnosis. Mrs. D.B., a 36-year-old Negro woman, was admitted to the medical service complaining of abdominal pain. The medical house staff had learned that 1 week prior to admission, she came to the hospital emergency department complaining of chest pain, and that was both sharp and squeezing in character. She had noticed this pain for a year, and it seemed to come with exertion. And the doctor in the emergency room noted that her blood pressure was 210 over 100 and her heart was enlarged. And while she was having an electrocardiogram, she felt better and asked to leave. That's strange. She was sent out with instructions to visit her local doctor who had been treating her for hypertension. She returned to the emergency room department on the eve of the admission complaining of abdominal pain. She said that she had a cold during the week, and her doctor was treating her with tetracycline. At noon, she had developed a cramping pain. Her doctor was called to the house and gave her some unknown medicine to take every 4 hours, which she did, without relief. The pain persisted, and she began to vomit. Her daughter and a friend reported that she went into a trance for about 10 minutes, in which she stared straight ahead and asked for the family members of the family to come in. It was this that led the family to bring her to the emergency room. She was admitted to the medical service, where doctors learned that she had known hypertension for over 7 years, 3 years prior an admission for enlarged heart, and discovered it on x-ray examination. And she had taken various medications for hypertension and her blood pressure, etc. But 3 years prior to the admission, she had noted exertion, palpitations, severe headaches, and 1 year prior to admission, she began having heart problems, pain also. And upon admission, her blood pressure was 130 to 110. She had 3 episodes of cramping, abdominal pain. During the examination, the abdomen seemed diffusely tender, but more so in the left lower quadrant. The intern felt that was a definite rebound tenderness. A grade 2 systolic murmur was heard at the apex. There were some early signs of hypertensive renopathy. The examination was otherwise normal. The surgeon saw her late in the day. She had continued to vomit. His impression was that her abdomen was normal. The pain persisted and then disappeared for over 24 hours and returned on the fourth day of hospitalization with vomiting. The pain came every 5-6 minutes, seemed crampy, and would last for about a minute and a half, and she remained there in the hospital throughout. The laboratory data, routine blood count, urine, stool examination were normal. Electrocardiogram revealed abnormal T waves. The chest x-ray, slight enlarged left ventricle, x-ray study of the gallbladder, upper gastrointestinal series, and an intravenous filogram were all normal. Blood area, nitrogen was 22, et cetera. The point is that everything is normal. The house staff was having considerable trouble explaining her abdominal pain. Obviously, she had hypertensive cardiovascular disease, but her abdominal pain and vomiting could not be understood in terms of her hypertensive illness. At that time, the author here, this doctor, was working on the medical floor as a liaison fellow from the Department of Psychiatry. The medical resident requested on her fifth hospital day that she be seen to determine if there were some personal problems contributing to the clinical picture here. She was seen briefly at that time, and when asked what had brought her to the hospital, she gave the following story. She was well until a week or prior to her admission. She had been drinking heavily on the weekend, and she had done so for almost 20 years. She had 2 or 3 drinks on Sunday morning and then went to a friend's home, and she drank there. Soon she felt dizzy and had a headache and right chest pain. It was then that she made her first visit to our emergency department. She felt well until her abdominal pain began. just prior to her admission. At this point, she said she felt fine between the bouts of pain and vomiting, and this made her realize that there was nothing physically wrong with her. She was then asked if this meant something was working, if this meant somebody was working roots on her. And she said that she was sure of it. The woman she had visited a week prior to admission seemed to have some reason to want to hex the patient. The patient had once dated this friend's boyfriend, and now the friend seemed interested in the patient's husband. And the patient said that a root doctor had visited her the night before in the hospital and told her that the other woman must have put something in her drink that only the root doctor could remove the spell. And she was told that the hospital doctors could only give temporary relief, but the root doctor could cure the pain. The patient was from rural Alabama and had come to the north as a young woman. Belief in root work was something she had grown up with. She had no more pain in the hospital. She was discharged 2 days after the above interview. An effort was made to witness and record a treatment by the root worker, but it proved impossible because of her hypertensive disease and possible diabetes. She was given an appointment in the medical clinic, but she never returned. Obviously, medical disease obscured this patient's illness. As in the case with which patients, she was reluctant to volunteer her feelings about being hexed. Her physicians could not inquire about such a process because it was completely unfamiliar to them. The major clue was her hiding, the major clue was her hinting at something different than a physical illness. In an American of impoverished rural southern origins, this is always a important finding, and it is important that the exploration of the possibility of a hex should be considered. Now, this is from a medical practitioner, a psychiatrist, writing to his colleagues on we need to prepare ourselves for the potential of accepting that some people may be hexed. And consequently, in his writings, he goes on and suggests that they, in one case, they hired a root doctor to heal somebody. So he's not a Christian or wasn't working from a ministry perspective here. Now, there was a case in Macon, Georgia. And I'm going to read you about that case where there was a person that was selling drugs, and the police department went in there to arrest this person. And it goes something like this in the Macon newspaper article. When drug agents kicked in the door of Minnie Pearl Thomas' trailer at 5 a.m. on March 12, 1999, in the tiny community of Allentown, they walked into an eerie scene. On a dresser in her dimly lit bedroom, they found an altar. On the altar burned several candles. And on the candles were fastened written notes asking for the spirit's help with love, money, and protection from the law. Now, personally, I have worked with the gang task force in our city 20 years ago, and I was invited to meetings with the sheriff and others when they were exposing Satanism. And some of you have seen those videos and stuff years ago, and that was a good program. And the police department is more familiar than the preachers are in my town. The agents were not surprised here in this case when they got there. They knew that Thomas had been to a root doctor. It was root work. Since the earliest days of the settlers and the slaves in this country, the practice, which is akin to voodoo, has flourished in the South. Even in the year 2000, when modern technology has superseded the old ways and Southern culture is becoming more homogenized, root work still strives out of the view from mainstream society. The candles were not the only root work in Thomas' house. There was peppers were scattered in a space above the ceiling. Powder was sprinkled around the door. As they rousted the sleepy Thomas and arrested her for trafficking in crack cocaine, they learned about the powder. I remember I had a cousin like that, too. I went by his house. I just finished high school. And I know he got a four-year scholarship to play ball at Washington. He was a good athlete, but, everything wasn't all there. So, but, you know, we was pretty close to everything. It seemed like everything. He was always the top of this, in front of the politicians and everything. You know, this is a young man. And I said, man, what you got all this powder on the floor? They let me know somebody breaking in. So they always got an answer for you. She said it was when they asked about the powder on the floor and stuff like that, she said it was lost their way powder. And this was recorded by the county sheriff. But even that was not the end of her work. From wiretaps and other investigative techniques, the agents knew that Thomas had buried a dead chicken on her property to protect her from harm. They knew all this because they had her under surveillance. Minnie Pearl believed in it so much, she hid her dope outside where everybody could see it. The people nearby believed in it too. They wouldn't even mess with her dope. The drug task force agents here in Operation Four Corners, what they call it, had a cause to wonder whether Thomas' rootwork might have had some hidden potency. Some of the things we tried to do, they say, didn't work. The mojo was on us, said Jeff Duncan, a police officer attached to the task force. Wilkerson County Sheriff's investigator explained that mysterious glitches nearly derailed the whole investigation. Batteries died in the two-way radios. Video cameras quit working. While doing surveillance one day on a drug deal across unusually deserted train tracks, the agents got a surprise. A train came through right in the middle of a deal. The police officer said, working that case, it had me wondering. Because everything that could go wrong did go wrong. She was a strange bird. But apparently, her roots wasn't strong enough to head off trouble. Thomas 44, also known as the Queen Pin, was a longtime drug dealer responsible for moving 4 or 5 ounces of crack cocaine each week through the little town. The police officers here, the GBI agent who coordinated the task force, they say Thomas was convicted in the U.S. District Court in Macon, Georgia, and sentenced to life in prison without parole. Among the other sentenced in the case was a 35-year-old ex-preacher. Oh, why are these preachers all in this stuff, you know? Well, anyway. A 35-year-old ex-preacher named Sam, after pleading guilty in May to assisting Thomas in her drug trade, Sam is now serving an 18-month sentence at the U.S. Penitentiary in Atlanta. Now, Sam had met Thomas in 1998, moved in with her, and not long afterwards, and he told a drug agent she must have put roots on him to make him join her on that drug scene. If he had his way, the roots would have been his defense in court. He really, really believed that's what happened to him, according to the police agents. Sam told the agents her spell ended him through the food she fed him. And full of remorse and shame, he told the officer, I should have let those biscuits alone. The root of root work. Well, the agents never did find out who Thomas' root doctor was, but suspected it was somebody operating in nearby county. And it could have been one of the many root doctors. Experts say practitioners of the ancient tradition are still scattered throughout the South. Another police officer, a Putnam County sheriff, Howard Seals, had a curse put on him, police officer. In 1994, while investigating the murder of a 28-year-old person, Seals searched the home of her ex-husband. When we did a search warrant on his house, back in the bedroom he was staying in, behind the curtain was hanging a black doll. It was a voodoo doll. They knew this. Ministers don't know this. Strips of cotton cloth, dyed black, were hand-wrapped around some kind of stuffing. It was punctured by more than 4 dozen pins. Pinned to the doll were several names, including mine. the police officer, the chief. His name on there. The list of names written on a scrap of brown grocery sack paper, and that's what I found in my house, the brown paperback, because it burned up, I didn't have time to read all that mess. And also contained a note. To whom it may concern is holding him, hang, cut him loose, or have all kind of trouble. Words yourself to death until you let this man go. Now, as I studied voodoo many years ago, and then African religion of Orishas, we found that all of the individuals, Noriega, Hitler, all those people were heavily involved in drugs. They also were heavily involved in root workers, working spells for them to protect them in their drug business. And even your punk city drug pushers, because we don't have too many of them no more. They didn't move them out because we got CVS over here in Walgreens. But anyway, but those people, they know who in the neighborhood can help protect them too and work the spell. Anyway, this police officer says that he believes that it was a root death curse that was placed on him. And we clearly knew that someone in the family had gone and paid the root doctor to get a root. They were not able to put a successful death root on me because he says, here I am. However, the suspect, the 30-year-old man who accused of killing his wife, was acquitted at trial. y'all don't believe none of this, I know. Well, let's see here. How old is this one? 1970s. From Wentworth's book, Battling Witchcraft and the Occult. My senior apostle, Norman Parrish. Probably the oldest living man in spiritual warfare today. Back in the 70s, he gives a report to Wentworth and the group at Hedrick's. Norman Parrish relates an incident in his church in the Guatemalan city, which happened several years ago. So this would have been in the 60s. There they had a daily deliverance ministry with Wednesdays and Saturdays especially dedicated to dealing with those with demonic problems. Early one morning, he arrived at the church for a Bible class and found the church open. It was early, but no one was in the building. Checking, he found certain things were missing. He knows that one of the curtains from the stage was gone, as was the clock. The pulpit Bible and the offering box were also missing. And strangely enough, the valuable loudspeaker system, the musical instruments were undisturbed. Only certain items with little monetary value had been stolen. And from that day forward, a heaviness hung over the church. In a church accustomed to joyful praise, suddenly everyone was listless and lost interest in singing. It's kind of like we say 11, you say 11:30. Well, y'all don't have that problem. You pastors don't have that problem. We're going to meet at 11. Amen. All right. All right. They would not lift their hands to praise, but stood like rows of mummies. It was difficult to preach. The church had been trained to be punctual, a miracle in Latin America, and services always started at the time announced. People now began to drag in late and would neither react nor respond to the message. The offerings sank to an all-time low. And about a month or two after the break-in, Pastor Norman and the elders fasted and prayed, seeking to determine what had happened. A word of knowledge was given that a witchcraft burial had been made against the church and was located across the street near a utility pole. They went out and began to dig. Sure enough, there was a package buried there containing the stolen drape, the clock, the Bible, and the offering box. Every article had a significance. The drape had to do with worship, the clock with attendance, the Bible with ministry and preaching, and the offering box had to do with financial support. While this pressure was on the church, strange things happened. Once they arrived and found black candles burning in the church. Another time, a dead blackbird, I found that too, was at the door of the church, even dead cats. The law revealed that 14 witch doctors had banded together, to destroy the church because it had undone so many curses and spells. They had sent a man in to steal specific items symbolic of certain things. At midnight on Friday, they cast a spell and buried the items at the foot of the lamppost near the church. It could be that many churches and charismatic groups have been discouraged through the use of witchcraft and nobody knows about it. In Hosea, the 10th chapter, verse 12, the Bible says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." God says that we are to break up the fallow ground, ground that has laid waste, become hard, and sow with a view towards righteousness. Have you become hard in somewhere in your hearts against God? Have you rejected certain fundamental principles of God and substituted idolatry, lust, ambition, self? Your feelings are not supposed to be above the Lord's word, people. We are to live by it is written. When a farmer prepares the soil for sowing, he plows up the hardened soil. He removes all the rocks, roots, and everything he can that will hinder the soil from receiving the good seed and pouring out and producing fruit that is good for the harvest. Since we as believers are the land, we must break up the fallow ground through repentance. We clear out our land through deliverance, which removes the strongholds, the rocks, and the roots from our lives so that we can be good soil that is mentioned, of course, in Mark the fourth chapter of the gospel. In this way, we are able to receive seed, which is the word of God, which can produce fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verse 9, God forbade his people from getting involved in witchcraft and the occult. And in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, God is very specific here. He tells his congregation, when you are come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, verse 9, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, that's an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Now this is very important that for those of you that are getting involved in deliverance to go back and do a study on what these sins are, what these abominations are and what they mean, so you can relate it to present day. And I want to focus just a little bit on the word charmer in verse 11, because charmer means hypnotize. In Dr. Noh's book, I think he uses the magic, haba-haba, spirit. And root workers are charmers. Conjure men are charmers. People that are using roots, hoodoo roots, or voodoo roots, or root workers, regardless of the nationality, are charmers, okay? And like Simon the Sorcerer, he used demonic powers to conjure. Alright, and a lot of times, and particularly in our youth, that's so good that we provide protection and covering by trusting God for our youth in the church as pastors. But there are some cartoons and there are TV programs and movies that give the intellect and entice the intellect of the non-believers or those that are ignorant to Satan's devices in schools to buy candles and buy all the stuff off the internet and see if they can get John to take him to the prom. Or say, or John can get take Mary to the prom. Okay, and so if you think these things ain't happening, so you missed the mark. Okay, because I was aware of some mediocre stuff like that when I was young, but not to the extreme as it is today we're seeing. But I can remember a cousin of mine that was a merchant seaman. He would tell me, when they shake your hand, don't let them do this, and I would just say, huh, okay, why? All right. Because, you know, all I want was the next beer. But he was trying to warn me. And I wasn't saved, he wasn't saved, but he knew the streets. And he knew I wanted to know the streets. All right, so you need to be aware of this. And so I believe God provides protection and discerning of spirits, even to our youth, if we are walking in right fellowship with God. And we are accountable to God and accountable to God's servants. I believe that is a protection. In fact, I'm very confident of that. But workers of roots and novice workers of roots, which is the ones I mentioned that go buy something off the internet or walk into the local store and get a candle or something, they both have been hired in many cases. Some with cash hiring, others hired because I need you to do it. I know how to do this, to put together marriages, to break up marriages. Some have been used root workers to seduce individuals to become involved in fornicating affairs. Don't even know why they want to get involved in fornicating. Others have got involved in homosexual activities, never had a homosexual tendency, but the root worker placed the curse, or the person that was a homosexual knew how to do the root work curse and seduce the man or woman into homosexual affairs and convince them that that's what they need to do. But it was witchcraft. And we're trying to find out what how did this happen? And I know about impartation, touching the wrong person, touching your baby or something like that. But I'm saying, I don't think we understand that a root worker can do that too. Okay, so if you start noticing, this is a leadership meeting. So as pastors, if you see an effeminate in a boy, don't misunderstand that, because most boys are walk and act effeminate for a short period. And they move out of there because they take on the masculinity of their dads. And so don't go left on that. Don't go into misunderstand that. But On the other hand, if you know that there's some issues there and you're working with some people, don't overlook the possibility that somebody put a root curse on that son or that daughter or that individual to draw them into the homosexual lifestyle. Don't overlook it, please. Because right, these people do this. They get paid to do this. That's an easy job for them. Because their children are very vulnerable to sexual sins. Because they want to, sow their oaks or whatever they call it. And so once that's found, you know, they are more primed to be seduced there. Then most of us have been to our local grocery stores, and these root workers are the novice root workers, young people, old people alike. They go to the grocery store, they find love potion candles on the shelves, candles against your enemy, candles to bring money to you, candles to get you a mate. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody got an idea what I'm talking about? All right. And so, once again, I want to reiterate what I have said twice already, that when individuals come to us for ministry, we're not supposed to just go left and go rogue and just assume that somebody put a hex on them. But I think the average deliverance worker spend more time saying it's a generational curse. And we do so much time in investigating, in many cases, it is a actual hex that has been placed on the individual. And regardless of, as I've proven to you here, when you go back and do your research, the hoodoo was a compilation of whites, Native Americans, and Latinos. Okay, so it's its own style American root workers. Okay, and then the African American root workers that came in from the Congo and different places, they've been attributed to the Yorubaland tribe, but I don't think that's correct anymore as I continue to study history. And that form of root working is no different than the other. Okay, and so you may be in here today, and you might say, "Well, I've escaped this," but hopefully, I've said just enough to get you interested enough. And I mentioned to you, we only touched the surface. This is just—it is just too complex of a subject to go into any detail without having four or five sessions to get familiar with it. Because I studied history for over 19 years, and it's so easy for me to leave this and go into another area. And I just want to stay here. And when I'm finished with it, I'm just finished. If at this point, then you have to determine that if the Holy Spirit tells you the person you minister to has got a hex on them. Or you can just excuse it and say, I'll apply the blood, break the curse, come out. And if you're going to get away with that, you might. It might work. Okay? And but unlike in the 60s, unlike the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the concept and the attitude of the individual who may have had a hex on them knew it. We live in a different time now. All right, so somebody can put a hex on Brother Jim, who's not a minister yet, going to the Spirit-filled church, and I won't know it, but my grandmama would have known it. Uh-oh. Y'all think I put that chair there on purpose? Stumble. I didn't put it there on purpose. So if I didn't do anything in this short lecture about root workers, but to inspire you to realize that these things do exist and that it's not a black-only issue by any means. And most of us have two, three different types of blood in us. German, Indian, Afro-American, Caucasian. I don't know what else is in there with me. So, you know, what I'd like to do now is take us through a renunciation prayer for ourselves and for the sins of our forefathers that may have got involved in hoodoo or voodoo root working or what we used to call, Grandma know how to get that water off of you. Yeah. Papa could take care of that flu. He got that stuff called devil out there. He burned that tree branch and he put a little shot of that vodka in there or whiskey, squeeze a little lemon juice or sugar and that other stuff. I don't know what he put in there. Might have cut himself, let a drop of blood fall down. I don't know. So I'm just telling you, there's a lot going down, and it could be the problem that we're having today. Monty did an excellent teaching 15 years ago on the Mennonites. And we don't even have a clue. We don't even have a clue that they're generally they're probably responsible for a lot of impoverishment In our society today, in the church, people are having problems because of this demon. It's stealing everything that you get. And so what I want to do, I'm not going to keep you long. Like I said, I knew I wasn't going to be preaching. And just, Karen, I'm going to say, I got too much up here. Just, you know, I want to go another whole area with it. And that's enough. We need to know that it's not a black-only issue and that somebody might come to you, might need deliverance, okay? And you can't just wave the wand and say, okay, you deliver, okay? Because with their deliverance, they may need some help in dealing with the fears and the oppression once they find out what it was or who did it to me. I never asked God to tell me who put the brown paper bag on my porch or who vomited blood on my back door at another wrong home we had. I never asked God to tell me. I don't need to know all of these things, you know. I just need to know that Jesus loves me enough to set me free, you know. That's all that matters, you know. And so, but the voodoo people, they teach this, what they believe, you know, or the hoodoo people, they believe in revenge. I just got to know, it's Real Mike down the road did it. I'm going to get him too. All right. Never. Christians never retaliate. Never. So, if you would like to participate in these short, brief prayers, I'll ask that you repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive my ancestors and anyone else that has practiced any form of witchcraft that would affect me and my descendants. Please forgive me and my ancestors for practicing any form of witchcraft and cursing my descendants. I break all curses and control of witchcraft as uttering a wish of evil upon somebody. I break all curses and control of witchcraft to call for mischief or injury to fall upon someone, to bring evil upon someone, or to someone, to blast, to vex, harass, or to torment someone with great calamities. I break all curses and control of witchcraft. I break the power of satanic coverings of witches and warlocks, persons dabbling with witchcraft and sorcery, casting spells, potions, enchantments, and curses, wrong kinds of psychic prayers, witchcraft control, workers of roots, hoodoo witchcraft, and all witchcraft. Don, would you bring me one of those little blue books I wrote, please? I am now closing any door that I or my ancestors may have opened to you, Satan, to contact with witchcraft, the occult, root workers, or similar activities. I am now closing the door against all these things I know about and all the things I don't know about. I renounce you, Satan, and all your demons. And I'm closing every door. I or my ancestors may have opened. Christ redeems those who put their trust in Him. Thank you, sir. Jesus Christ became a curse on the cross for us and blotted out the handwriting of ordinances against us. I claim and apply these principles. I break the curses back to 10 generations or even back to Adam and Eve on both sides of my family. In Jesus' name, all legal holds, legal grounds are removed in the name of Jesus. I break all curses, spells, and hexes sent upon us by envious evils enemies who seek to harm us or kill us or wreak havoc physically, emotionally, and or spiritually. I bind and order these demons. Come out of me. Come out of my family. In Jesus' name. Now Satan, I put Satan on notice. I'm attacking from my position in Christ Jesus, which is high above all these principalities, world rulers, and dominions from the third heaven. I take authority. When I bind the strong man, I forbid you to communicate one with another, get strength from one another. You're going to come out of the people. You're going to go where Jesus tells you to go. I thank you, Father, for the angels of God to gather with chains and shackles of all the spirits and take them to where you see them. I forbid them to be able to communicate one with another. I take authority. I bind. I bind right now. I bind all charming spirits. I command you to loose us right now, including myself. Come out. Come out. All root-working curses that brought infirmities, mental or social issues in our lives, any kind of condition we have from our youth up to now, I command those root-working curses broken on our lives right now. I cast those demons out. You go now in Jesus' name. All love witchcraft, all the way back to our birth. All love curses. Somebody tried to put us together with somebody. They did it in words. They did a slight angle on it, but it was still hoodoo or it was still root works. All love witchcraft, come out. Love spells, come out of us. Go in Jesus' name. Love magic, come out. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. All the, come out of there. Love witchcraft. Love curses, come out. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, fantasy lust. Go in Jesus' name. Go. I command the witchcraft spirit out of all of our reproductive organs. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go. I break the circle of witchcraft around us. I break that power in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. I was doing a lot of ministry up in the Jasper area for many years, and I knew I was dealing with a witch up there. I knew they had a circle. They even sent me money. Big money. All right. Sent TVs and everything. Okay. To the ministry. Asking for prayer. Wanting to know how I knew about spiritual prayer. Or wanting to know about deliverance. All right. But never change. Never change. So we just had to cut off relationships there. And so that witchcraft circle is there. And they, and a lot of ministries came down in Jasper where they dragged that man, killed that man down. All that mess is tied into that. Find the sheriff. Because I don't know anything about the sheriff. Don't make no difference to me by color. But the point is, there's been a lot of mess going down in Jasper, Texas. All right, and it's rooted because of the circle of witches that are there. And they know I know they're there. Because I know them. Well, all right. Yeah, I just did that. Grandson do that all the time. Pawpaw. Y'all, excuse me, all right. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So I break that power of the circle of witchcraft over our lives right now in the name of Jesus. All sexual spirits, now you leave us, you go. You. Oh, by the way, the succubus spirits and the incubus spirits, leave us. Those husband spirits and wife spirits, most people, they just say, well, you just get them. Some people get them. The people's spouse die. I'm telling you, people, root workers is what, can send them to you. And predominantly, that's where they're coming from. Somebody's trying to, they, preachers do it. I know a lady called me from New York, and the preacher made a statement to her, and then the preacher hit on her, and the preacher said, I was in the room with you. So you don't just think people come and say, well, I got somebody having sex with me tonight. Well, we got to go back and break it back 20 generations. I'm telling you, they got somebody can work their spell. Right. Yeah. I'm trying to get us to see a deliverance. Why come to a deliverance company if we don't get something different? I mean, we had some outstanding messages in the last couple of days, okay? We had something you had to think about. We all, and nobody here, ain't missed repentance in these last two messages. All right, so I'm trying to give you something so you just don't be waving this thing in thinking you made this warm deliverance like this. You've been called to a higher calling. Much as we give and much as required. All right, this ain't nothing to play with. I'm sorry, people. So you need to understand that when people tell you these things, you need to look for root workers and witchcraft and people and hoochie men and people working magic and spells on people. As opposed to something just leaked on somebody because it's native to Mexico or it's native to something. And that's okay. You need to say, you need to understand people do this. Some people do it out of spite. If y'all think people ain't sending stuff on me and my wife, you're greatly mistaken. I got people, I was talking to a lady, I said, well, Pastor Lane, how's it going? I said, well, I just went through a good battle. I said, well, don't tell me, I know what you're going through. Hallelujah. She said, well, I ain't going through that much. I volunteered. All right. Well, that's how they even think. All astral rate. And this preacher said that he was visiting this woman. She called me. She met me in Florida about 7-8 years ago. My wife and I were doing a conference, a women's conference in Jacksonville, Florida. And this lady remembered us. And she called me. She said, I know you're in deliverance. And I remember you and your wife, and this is what happened, and this is what kind of problem I'm having. I said, okay. And I worked with her over the phone for a couple of weeks. And so these things happen. All right, but I'm stressing the preacher part, okay? Yeah. That's a good profession to get into right now. You ain't got to pay no taxes. Get a Mercedes Benz. There ain't nothing wrong with a Mercedes, huh? I think Bishop got two Lincolns. I'm going to leave it up. Lincoln. My favorite car. My wife won't let me buy one, but I'm serious. That is my favorite car. But, oh, Lord. Oh, boy. Get the tape. So you husband spirits, you come out of us. You wife spirits, come out of us in Jesus' name. Command those demons to go. All of the demons of the crossroads, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Petro, voodoo, go, magic. I break all soul ties right now with all persons who work on us, work on our descendants. I break that power. I break it, I break it, I break it, I break it in Jesus' name. I break the ancestors' soul ties. I break it, I break it, I break it, I break it in Jesus' name. I command you demons to go in Jesus' name. I don't know what kind of battle I went through the last couple of days preparing this. This isn't even a hard thing. All it is, I got a bunch of notes together. And I'm reading it to you, but this is a bad dude. I did 6 weeks at our church. I'm finished, y'all. I'm going to do one more renunciation prayer, and I'm finished because I told you it's more of an informative message today. I did 6 or 7 weeks at our church. I took everybody through there. I had two people to manifest that had been with me over 7, 8 years, and I asked both of them, I say, now all the deliveries we did, you didn't remember as a nurse going to your friend and you're going to see the Mojo Man twice in Silsby, Texas, and the other one I said, so. Well, no, I just never thought about it, Pastor. I mean, we throwing a big bowling ball down there every week. You know, we knocking over pins week after week, but it just, duh. Passivity got in there, duh. So if the preacher passes, respect his people. But anyway, and so these people, you know, I mean, people start manifesting, and then all of a sudden I lost, what's he, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in the church. And I stood back and I say, oh, I forgot it'd be casualties in the war. I said, oh, Lord, to my wife. I said, I forgot. I said, we should know whenever we go at a different hierarchy like that, there's a good possibility that the enemy can come in and snatch the people. So I did what I forgot to do. I said, we got to pray. We prayed. I'm serious, y'all. I'm telling you. Lady called, apologized, brought all family back to the church. And the other person just showed up with her two grandchildren, apologizing. I never said nothing to them. I said, oh, everything good. Praise the Lord. All right, and so now some preachers will just kick him to the curb. You want to go, go. I don't ordain the way. We don't want to lose nobody. Not because of the church membership, but because they are souls for God. But I didn't even consider the fact that it might be some repercussion when I went after this bad boy. But they were strong enough by God's grace to come back in. And so we are back to 100% where we were before by His grace. So if you're scared to do this because you might lose members, you're in the wrong business anyway. So repeat after me. Let's close out with the deliverance prayers. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose myself and my family line from curses coming against us, from those working voodoo, by candles, burning candles, root workers, bowing down to idols, using psychic prayers, charms, the rhythm of drums, all types of drumming, and music coming against me and my family line, and expel these evil spirits out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also loose myself and my family from any curses and spirits where I or a family member may have opened the doors to an attack or have allowed them to attack us in the past. I expel them out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of all involvement and family generational involvement directly or indirectly in voodoo, in hoodoo, all manner of witchcraft, divination, and conjuration that I or any member of my family have been involved in the past. Forgive me, Lord, when I have innocently, or my family have innocently, or ignorantly gone to someone or carried someone to a root worker. I command all spirits to be weakened, bound, and I cast them out in the name of Jesus. I cut off their power over me and my family line in the heavenlies and on earth. I command every demon who has been summoned to curse me to come out of me now. Come out of my family now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the blood of Jesus, I command all soul-destroying demons to be bound. And I ask the Lord to restore my soul to its proper place in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curses of candle burning to dead saints, rosary prayers, stature, or idol worshiping, in voodoo, in hoodoo, in root working, in the name of Jesus. I break curses of the tongue coming against me from those who are bound by voodoo, by hoodoo, or witchcraft. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break all curses. All crossroad curses coming against me, coming against my family. And in the name of Jesus, I cast out all African demons, Haitian demons, black voodoo, white voodoo, Latino voodoo, Indian hoodoo, witchcraft, all spirits of infirmity, including mental illness, that entered me or my family line because of the effects of root workers, voodoo, and witchcraft. So I heard somebody pronounce roots properly. I improperly pronounced it. I renounce and turn against all household gods and destroying demons to be bound in the name of Jesus and to come out. Spirits of death, false gifts by voodoo, false gifts by hoodoo, false gifts by root workers and witchcraft. I cast you out in Jesus' name. Demons of candle burning, rosary prayers, idol worship, come out. In the name of Jesus, I command all hidden demons, come out of me and my family in the name of Jesus. Now you demons, you just go. Every one of you, I break those curses in Jesus' name. I break those curses in Jesus' name. You leave the people, you go in Jesus' name. Every one of you that's had the hex placed on them by commissioning root workers, people who went to spend money, destroy their marriage, destroy their jobs, destroy their athletic abilities when they were young. Everyone that had that done to them, I break that power right now in Jesus' name. I break those curses in Jesus' name. Those that are still going to root workers think it's Christian, Lord, I pray you reveal to them, the Holy Spirit would open their eyes and open their understanding so they'll be able to see that they don't need to lay the Bible on somebody to get them healed, but they need to speak the word, be healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the healer. The Bible is important, don't get me wrong. All right, but if the biblical man says you can use the Bible in an inappropriate way and they use it in voodoo. And so you need to understand these things. So the only help we need is the help of the Lord. And He don't need no extra help from us. So if you need a candle, you need some Indian spray to say blessings in your house and all that, be careful with all that stuff. And if you need candles in there to woo you down and smell good so you can get a mate, that's dangerous stuff. And so all these little things, when people come to you, nothing should take you by surprise. But I'm asking that as ministers, as we approach this next year, 2013, and we're in spiritual warfare, someone may come, and maybe 1 out of 100, maybe 99 out of 100, that come to you with an incurable disease or unusual diagnosis by a doctor. Yes, we know it's witchcraft, but I'm saying it could have been because somebody hired a root worker to do the witchcraft. So don't forget about that in this session. We will accomplish that. We have accomplished a lot in this session. Because I know my English grammar and my delivery wasn't all that professional, but I've never taught it like this before either. But I just know we need to know this. Now, how you get it, you got to get it from the Lord. My job was to try to get it out there where you can at least get interested in it. So let's close some doors. In the name of Jesus, I bind up all the spirits and all of... No, I'm going to pray. I'm praying over you now. I bind up all of the spirits and all of the categories that we have commanded out today, and those that have not left, and I command them to continue leaving until all have gone. And I ask you, Lord, to fill up all the vacancies and voids in the minds and the body of the believers present where any evil spirits have left with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and to continue to do so until all have gone. I ask you, Lord, to pour your healing power down over all areas of our minds, bodies that have been ravaged, tormented, harmed, and wounded in any way, and to cleanse us and heal these areas with your precious blood. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to sign as many ministering angels as needed to protect each person in the group here until all of the deliverance has been received, all of the healing and filling of the Holy Spirit is completed. And I ask you, Lord God, to give every person that was ministered to today and those that are going to receive the message on the internet, discernment that he or she or this group needs to make to accurately be aware of each time the enemy tries to regain access so that the enemy can be stopped before he can get a foothold in our life. And Lord God, I pray, give you all the glory and all of the worship and the honor for today's service. I speak a blessing over the congregation of the Lord and speak healing to their bodies and their minds. I pray the blood of Jesus just would cover us all and cleanse us right now. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. Amen. Because he says we are healed. Amen?
Amen.
May God bless you and have a good supper. Amen. Thank you. That's it. Mm-hmm.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.